Okay, we're up to Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Yutes. Okay, so this chapter, this section is about the story of Yecheskel. Hashem says Yecheskel, Hashem is going to take away from Yecheskel the Machmad Einechem, the delight of his eyes, which refers to his wife. Hashem says to Yecheskel that Hashem will bring about the death of the wife of the Navi, and Yecheskel will not mourn in the ordinary way, and which includes he's not going to accept food from other people, which is normally the custom. He's not going to take off his shoes. He's not going to wear a special type of garment over his eyes. And he's not going to take off his tefillin. All the things which an Ovel normally does, Hashem is telling Yecheskel that you will not do, and you will serve, and your actions will serve as a sign for the Jewish people. What is the sign? So as we're going to read now, the sign is that the Machmad Einechem, the wife, is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. The light of the eyes is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and the Jewish people will not be able to mourn. They will not have an opportunity to mourn. We explain the simple understanding is that if everyone is in a state of mourning, then there is no one to give comfort. Comfort, mourning, we learn from this pasuk, this pasuk, from this section, a very powerful concept. It's only possible to mourn if there are people who can give you comfort. But if there's no one that can provide comfort, then there's no purpose in mourning. That's at least what the Metzudos David said. And since the entire you will not mourn, this is symbolic of saying that the entire Klal Yisrael will be in a state of mourning. Thus, there will be no one available to offer comfort. Therefore, the laws of mourning do not apply. The laws of mourning demand that there at least be one person who can provide comfort. And if there is no soul who can provide comfort, then there's no purpose in mourning.
But we do have national mourning.
So let's go one step by step. I'll give you an example. Like Lahavdil Elif Alfi Havdalis. I remember a year or two ago there was a major storm in what, well, maybe there were riots. I don't remember. There were riots in one of the cities, and there was a professional baseball games that had to be played. And they decided there are going to be no fans. No fans allowed. Only the two major league teams are going to play each other, and it will be recorded for the record in order to gain points who will go to the playoffs, b'chulu b'chulu, but there are no fans allowed. So people were in shock. It's part of the game. You have to have a fan. You have to have fans cheering you on, or at least people that are screaming that you should not succeed. That's what a baseball park is. I mean, most of the park are the seats are for the fans. If you don't have someone rooting for you, or someone hoping that you fail, and you're going to show them up that we will succeed and we will overcome your desire for us to fail, there is no purpose in playing the game. It's an amazing thing. So here as well, I mean, I thought the practice of mourning is only, it's a very fascinating psychological insight, the Metzudos David says, the practice of mourning. Why do people mourn? People mourn, they mourn to get it out of their system. They are in pain. They are in pain, and they conduct themselves in a certain way, and that is a way of releasing the tsar that is built up within their system. But there has to be someone on the receiving end of this pain which will absorb it and respond with words of comfort. Now, and if there is no one going to be on the receiving end to absorb and acknowledge this expression of tsar and to attempt to be mefayes, the mourner, then there's no purpose in mourning. Now, that's a very bizarre concept. Let me ask you halacha l'mayis. So let's say a person is out of town, right? Person, Rahman al-Islam, is in mourning. And he goes out of town, and he's not going to receive even one single visitor. And there are no minyanim for him to go to. That's the situation. It happens. It happens every so often. A person is sitting shiva. He's an ovel. He has a relative who died out who knows where, somewhere in a part of the world where there is no other Jews. And there is really absolutely no one to give him comfort. So if you would take this to its natural conclusion, this person would have no obligation to sit shiva. Okay, the halacha lemaisa, I never heard such a thing, but think about it. What? You're showing cover to the mace, but Hashem is telling Yechezkel when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, he's saying, seemingly not. According to the Mitzudos, that's exactly the message. No one in Klal Yisrael is going to mourn because there will be no one to provide comfort. So that means the mourning is not, and even if it is for the mace, but the mace also demands that someone give comfort to the person who is mourning. And if no one's going to come and offer comfort, then there's no purpose in mourning. Now, obviously, we never heard of such a halacha that a person should not sit shiva if he knows for a fact that not even one person is going to come to visit him. Okay, obviously, there's more to it than that, but it is a very interesting idea. Now, let's.
With women, I mean,
what?
Would a woman dress up and put makeup on, and if nobody was there to see it, would she do it for herself?
Is that one of those tree falls in the forest things?
No. Wait, a woman to get dressed up.
Dresses up and puts makeup on.
Right.
You're doing it for herself.
Yeah.
You're doing it that somebody
should come and see her.
See her. And if you know no one's going to see her.
Yeah.
Would she do it?
She wouldn't do it. Would a woman? I mean, you're saying in general, would a woman go get all dressed up, put on makeup if no one's? She's not going to interact with any other people. So she's doing it for her own self. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
She's doing it just for herself.
Okay, but that might not be relevant for mourning. Mourning may follow its own set of rules. I don't know. You're right. I don't know. Everything is different, but it is a very interesting idea. Now let's now go to the next question. That is, what about on Tisha B'Av? Because on Tisha B'Av, it is the day of communal mourning. The entire Klal Yisrael is mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and there is really no one to comfort us. So why then do we even bother? Just like Hashem says to Yechezkel, Hashem says that you're going to mourn. You're not going to conduct yourself in the way of an avil, because, and it's a marshal for Klal Yisrael. Everyone's going to be in a state of mourning. There's going to be no one to give you comfort. So l'chayra on Tisha B'Av, what?
It's tefillos. Part of the tefillos give you comfort. Part of the tefillos give you some comfort, especially at the end.
But why? So what do you suggest? You suggest that Hashem is the one that's giving comfort.
Right.
So why wasn't Hashem giving comfort here at the time of the Churban? The same way that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you're not going to mourn because there's no one to offer you comfort, including me. So on Tisha B'Av, when we are reenacting the Churban Beis HaMikdash, what? So you want to say is that the first time?
You're so ticked off and angry.
All right. So you want to say time heals all wounds, even by Hashem. Even though Hashem is Hoyahoviyah, that at the Ein Hachnami, at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, Hashem was not willing to give comfort to Klal Yisrael. It was only the next week. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, but Bezman Hazeh, in our day and age. So therefore, who in Ein Hachnami? Who is the one that is going to give comfort to Klal Yisrael? It is Hashem. That's a very profound idea. Is that even though the entire Klal Yisrael is in mourning, Hashem is the one that is Hamokom Yinachem Eschel. And that really explains why we say B'loshon Rabim. There's always a dilemma. If a person is an individual that's sitting shiva, do you say to him B'loshon Hamokom Yinachem Eschem? Okay, do you say B'loshon Rabim or do you say B'loshon Yochid? So the proper thing, most of the Sfarim say, it should be said B'loshon Rabim no matter what, because Hashem is sitting kaviyochol shiva with the person. Just like the person is in mourning, Hashem is also in tsar. So, or b'soshach, with the aveli tzion v'yushalayim, the whole Klal Yisrael is in a state of mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem will be the one that will hamokoyim. Hashem is the one that is providing Nechama. Hamakim Menachem Eslam B'Sol Shar Avelei Tzion V'Yerushalayim. The day that is the ultimate day of the Avelei Tzion V'Yerushalayim is Tisha B'Av. And who is the one that is providing comfort? Hamakim. So in Nechanami, what you're saying is correct, is that even though it's a day of communal mourning, we have no individual that can give mourning, because everyone is in the same state of mourning, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to provide comfort, and that's what it means, Hamakim. How come then it did not apply to Yechezkel and in his generation? Like you said, that was the first year. That was the moment of Churban. The moment of Churban, Hashem was in a state of anger for our sins. So in Echanami, at that moment, Hashem was not yet willing to provide comfort. But after, subsequent to the actual moment of Churban, Hashem is always there providing for us comfort. And that's what makes Tisha B'Av unique relative to every other time that a person is sinning, is Rahman al-Islam, is in a state of mourning, and that on Tisha B'Av, Hashem is the one who is providing comfort, because there is no one else that can provide comfort, because everyone else is in a state of avels. That's one answer. Another answer goes back to the general theme about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is also called a holiday. Kora Olai Moed Lishbar Bachurai. Call this day a festival. It says in the Pasuk, Mizmar La'asaf. Mizmar La'asaf is the Mizmar which describes the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal asked the famous question, Mizmar La'asaf. Kina La'asaf Miboyle. It should say a lament, not a song. And the Gemara goes on to explain that indeed that Tisha B'Av is a day of celebration to some degree, even though that sounds bizarre, because Hashem poured out His anger on stone and wood and allowed us to survive. If Hashem would have allowed the Beis HaMikdash to survive, we would have to have been destroyed. So there is a degree of celebration of survival. That means in every person, it's a very complex day. Tisha B'Av has within it a element of celebration. The celebration is focused on survival, and has an element of churban, destruction. And every person is torn between these two. Half the day we devote to avelus, and then after chatzos, we focus more on the survival aspect. We get up, we sit on a regular chair, the laws of avelus are much more relaxed. Again, there's no tachlon the rest of it, there's no tachlon the entire day. So there are two different dimensions to Tisha B'Av. So who is providing comfort for a person on Tisha B'Av? Yourself. The facet of your being that is celebrating your survival is providing comfort to the facet, the dimension of your essence that is in a state of mourning. That's unique. Rachmana litzlan, when a person is sitting Shiva for a relative, there's no survival. It's pure avelos. You don't find a concept, oh, I survived. My relative died and I survived. We don't find that concept. The person is in a state of full-fledged mourning. You cannot provide yourself with comfort. Who then will be the one that provides comfort? Someone else. People who come to visit, they will provide the comfort. On Tisha B'Av, you don't need anyone else to provide comfort. First of all, there is no one else. You yourself have to divide your personality, your conscience, your psyche into two parts. The part that is in Avelus, and the part that has survived the Mizmar La'asaf, and the part that survived is going to be the part, the dimension of your existence that's going to provide comfort to the part of yourself that is in mourning. Okay, so let's now go further. Mitzvah Pasuk Yutes, Vayomer Eli, Hashem, Vayomer Eli, Ha'am, the people who saw Yechezkel doing this bizarre thing, telling them, Halosag lanu ma'ilalanu, Ki'ata oiseh, what exactly is going on? Over here you're telling us that your wife died and you're doing these funny things. What exactly was going on here? Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer Alehem, Devar Hashem, Ho'ilai Lemar, Hashem spoke to me. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Emar Leves Yisrael, Koyama Hashem Elokim, Hinuni Mechalel Es Mikdashi, Ge'oin Uschem. This, that I'm not mourning, my wife has died, and I'm not mourning, is a sign for you all that Hashem says He will profane His holy place, referring to the Ge'oin Uschem, the might of the pride of His might, referring Machmad Einechem, the delight of your eyes, Umachmal Nafshechem. Here we have a new expression, a beautiful new expression. The Machmal means the compassion of your neshama, Uvnechem, Uvnosechem, and your sons and daughters, Asher Azavtem, that you have abandoned, Bacherev Yipolu, they will fall to the sword. Hashem says, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, which is the pride of your might, the compassion of your eyes, Machmal Nafshechem, the delight of your eyes, the compassion of your souls and your children. I'm going to destroy all of these things. All of these things are going to happen. Let's see these three psukim in the first mepharsh. Pasuk Yutes in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk says, "Hirni mechal haloi sagid haloi meharoi shetagid lanu ma hadvarim ha'ile meramzim aleinu asher ato oiseh." Please tell us. The people will say to Yechezkel, "Please explain to us what is going on." explain to us why your wife died. Explain to us why you are not mourning her death. So Yechezkel responds, Pasuk of Aleph, Hinani Mechalel Limsdus David, Limsar Biyad Ho'ayev Hashem, my wife is a symbol for the Beis HaMikdash. She will die. That represents that Hashem will deliver in the hands of the enemy as Mikdashi, the Beis HaMikdash, which is these three different concepts. It is number one, the Ge'on Uschem. Number two, it's the Machmad Einechem. Number three, it's the Machmal Nafshechem. Ritzon Olaymar, Ahov Lochem, it is beloved to you, V'sachmoylu Olav, and its compassion is upon you. Asher Azavtem, and in addition to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, your children will also be killed. Asher Azavtem, Kishiyotzose Magoyla Azavtem B'Yushalayim. So it says here that when they went into exile, the men, the adults, were taken into exile, and the children were left over in Yerushalayim, and they were slaughtered by Nebuchadnezzar's army. Okay, let's see over here what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yutes says, Mo Eile Lanu, Mo Horimozim Halalu Aleinu. What do these hints, what do they represent? Pasuk Haval Vasher Azavtem B'Yerushalayim Kishiyotzosem Magoyla. When the adults were taken in exile by Nebuchadnezzar, the children were abandoned in Yerushalayim and they were slaughtered. Radak, Pasuk Yud test, there is none Yud, Pasuk Chaf, I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud, there is Pasuk Yud test, Vayom Vayomru, Ma Eile Lanu, Ma Moifes Heim Hadvarim Ma Eile Lanu, what is this sign for us? Ki Ato Yisek, Ki Yodanu, Sha Ato Yisek, Yisam Lev Moifes Lanu, we know that you are doing these things as a sign for us, Pasuk Chaf and Radak, Vaymar lechem devar Hashem eineni oisah adam ma'ilam yatzmi. I'm not doing this on my own. Ki kivar marti lechem hanruah shaboy lai shatamus ishti v'tzivani hakel yisparach shaloi esabel oleha. I already told you that my wife is going to die, and I will not mourn for her. Uma shetishalu mo hamoyves hu lechem devar Hashem hoyo lai leimar lechem ma moyves hu lechem ki pasuk of aleph. Emar, tell the people the following. Hinani mechalel. Shavi Allah Zarim Shaykhaluhu. Kemo Sha'ama Lamala Vihilues Sifuni, I will profane my hidden place. Uhamoi Ubahu Ba Puritzim Vihiluha, the wanted the enemies will come in and they will profane the Mikdash. The Mikdash is called three things. Ga'oin Uschem, Kemo Sha'amar, Lega'oin Samahu, Ki Ga'oin Yisrael Hoya Beis HaMikdash, the Uzam Visifar Tam. It was the pride of the people. It was their might, their splendor. I'll call Am Shahyanir Loy Kavod Hakel Yisparch BeAnan UveEish HaElyoina. They saw the cloud, the miracles, the cloud hovered over the Beis Hamikdash, the fire HaElyoina. And by the way, the word Goin, it's very appropriate for this week's parsha. Who do you call a Goin? Today, everyone is Harav HaGoin. Right? You ever go to a wedding? Mechubid Harav HaGoin. Why are Talmidei Chachamim called Goin? Because Goin is Bigmatria 60. Right, Goin is Bigmatria 60. How many Mesechtas are there in Shas? 63. So somehow we reduce 63 to 60. Why? Well, we combine Babas into one, and we don't count. We count the Avos. We don't count Mesecht Avos. I know there are different calculations, but basically we reduce 63 to 60. So there are 60 Mesechtas. Therefore, someone who is knowledgeable, who is an expert, proficient in all 60 mesechtos is called a goin, bigmatria, the great one. So before you can call a person a goin, you have to test them if they know all 60 mesechtos. Okay, so this is the goin uschem. Also this is partial. You know, we have birchas kohanim. There are 60 letters in birchas kohanim. Okay, so these essentially the Beis HaMikdash is called the Goin Uschem, because the Beis HaMikdash is the Shoresh of Torah. Okay, the Shoresh of Torah comes, the Kedusha of Torah is in the Oren, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that really is the power of Torah. So we call the Mikdash, number one, the Goin Uschem. The next thing is the Machmad Einechem, the delight of your eyes. Lefi Shohoyo Yofe Bibinyona Uvisikuno, it was beautiful. Umachmal nafshechem, the compassion of your neshama. Kasher yachmol ish es hadavar, she'oyev, so a person loves, has compassion upon something which he loves. What?
Calls it the yearning.
The yearning. They yearn every day to return to the Midrash. The false prophets told them, do not worry, it's not going to be destroyed. And even after it was destroyed, they told them, don't worry, you're going to come back very, very soon. Those people who went to Golos 11 years earlier, they were the adults, the Chorosh and the Masker. The adults went into exile 11 years. They left their children behind in Yerushalayim. They figured they'll have a better life. Have a better life remaining behind in Yerushalayim. That was a big mistake. Because those that remained in Yerushalayim were all killed. They would have been better off taking their children with them. Who would have known, right? Who could know the Holocaust? Who knew? Who knew where to go? That was always the big dilemma. All these horror stories where people had opportunities to leave and they chose not to leave. Or they chose to go one direction, not the other direction, and they ended up getting killed. So who's to judge? Who would have known what to do? So here they left their children in Yerushalayim, they all killed. V'heim gam kein machmal nafsham, the child is the compassion of your neshama. And then you can imagine the horror that came to them on the fifth day of Teves, when the messenger came and told them that their children have all been killed. The Radak learns not like the Mitzudais, we mentioned this last time, is that the reason why they did not mourn, the whole mashal why Yecheskel here is not mourning, is because they were stunned. In order to mourn, you have to also be in the right frame of mind. When a person is in a state of shock and he's stunned, then it's not possible to mourn. A person has to be open to express himself. So we have two different interpretations of why they did not mourn for the loss of their children. Okay, so it's, what? We don't delay it, but.
On the other hand, there is a custom of some not to go immediately
to the Beis Avel, the first few days.
Depending on the circumstances.
Right. Everything is, every situation is, you can't generalize. Right. The first few days you don't go because they're not in the state, but they're still mourning. They're still in the state of mourning. Here, the shock was so great they were unable. We discussed this. We find people in the Holocaust, the survivors. Many survivors rarely spoke about the horrors of what happened because it was just too shocking. They were too stunned. I know my person. I have my grandfather's brother. So my parents always told me that he went through incredible horror, and he had a number on his arm, and he went through a lot of tsar, and he never spoke about it. He never, a person, Rachman Lutzen, goes with such incredible tzaris, they're not able to mourn. And that is, according to the Radak, the message of Yecheskel, my wife will die, my wife is symbolic of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chorban, and I'm not going to mourn. And the reason why I'm not going to mourn, not like the Mitzvah, is because everyone is mourning, there's no one to give comfort. It's because I will be stunned. I will be dull. I'll lose my mind, and there's no one to talk to. There's no one to communicate with.
Can you talk about the destination of Mr. Mystic, how Hashem imposed this on Yecheskel?
Oh, so we asked that question. We don't have an answer. Tzadik Virala, what did Yecheskel's wife do to deserve this? That she should die prematurely? What did Yecheskel do to suffer the rest of his life without his machmad einechem? Chazal say there is a replacement for everything in this world, but not for Eshes Nu'urim. There's no replacement. So Yecheskel had to suffer. How old was he at this point in time in his life? He had to suffer. I mean, he was a broken person the rest of his life. It's just a horror. You see this, and also you see people who went through this. You know, they become broken people. It's just something that is
going to pass on the message of what I read. I mean, if he's going to pass on the message to Klal Yisrael how bad they've been, he wants them to really understand. In other words, how low do you feel? That's how I feel. In other words, they were unfaithful to me, and I should want to kill them. And if I don't take revenge on some level, then what does it say that I don't care? I have to show them that there's crime and punishment. If I don't, then they just think everything is all right. So I have to do something drastic. So now you see how you feel? That's how I feel. That's the general idea.
He has the same, he's also in a state of mourning. Okay, now I just want to point out is over here. You see over here, this is a very interesting pasuk. We find over here the base Hamikdash is described with three different parts of a person's existence. Number one, the power, your physical power. Number two, your eyes, and number three, your heart. It's called the Ge'oin Uzchem, the pride of your might. Your might represents your physical well-being. The physical well, the Beis Hamikdash represented the physical well-being of Klal Yisrael. It was, I guess, the source of all bracha to Klal Yisrael. They were a nation known, they had a very vibrant, healthy economy. The bracha that came through the Beis Hamikdash for Eretz Yisrael was very great, very intense, and the world had very great respect for Eretz Yisrael. Then it's also the Machmat Einechem, your eyes. The eyes always represent the concept of outlook, your perspective, your optimism, your focus on life. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. I haven't seen you in a long time. How have you been? And then we have here your heart. It appeals to the Machmad Nafshechem. It is the compassion of your neshama. Three different dimensions of a person. Your physical well-being, your outlook, your what you look forward to. The person doesn't have something to look forward to. It's a very sad state of affairs. Right? A person has to, you know, you go talk to a person. What keeps you going? I'm making a simcha. Okay, I'm making a simcha. I'm making my grandchild's getting bar mitzvah in a year. I have a granddaughter that's in shidduchim. I have this, I have that. You don't realize people, what keeps this a very depressing world. And if you have something to look forward to, you don't realize subconsciously how that keeps a person moving. That keeps you moving. That's the machmar emechem. If people don't have what to look forward to, you lose your mind. That's it. You shut down. It's all over. Someone told me that meals. He explained to me that people, you don't realize subconsciously, you look forward to your next meal. If you have someone who serves you gourmet meals, a good dinner, a good lunch, a good breakfast, you don't realize that alone for some people is enough. What's called the machmat, it gives them something to look forward to. You told me they did studies that people, you know, the people who are loners who don't have any real meals, and they just, you know, they go from one meal to the next meal. They just take what they can find to get by. So they don't look forward to eating, because what am I eating for lunch? I'm going to eat a stale piece of bread. I'm going to go take something from the freezer and put it in the microwave. Do I really enjoy it? No, I just need to eat something to keep my body going. And then you take on the other end a person who has absolutely nothing, but has, you know, he goes to some type of center where they provide a delicious meal. It's something to look forward to. And they've done studies, and these people, they don't realize looking forward to eating a meal also gives a person chias. It's an essential ingredient in the well-being of a human being to have something to look forward to. And this is described in the term the machmad einechem. Your eyes represent your perspective moving forward. Eyes are in front of you. You see what's ahead of you. You see what's going. It's delightful what I see in front of me. I'm looking forward to the next bar mitzvah, the next chasna, the next simcha, the next event in my life, the next stage in my life. That's the machmar einechem. The Beis HaMikdash gave Klal Yisrael that delight in looking forward to their next stage in being a part of world history. It's hard to understand, what's the whole purpose of this world anyway? Where are we going? What's going on over here? But yet there is something to it, is that the world is moving forward, and Klal Yisrael, they are an essential component of where we are going. We're looking in front of us. That's the machmar einechem. When there was no Beis HaMikdash, there was nothing to look forward to. Nothing to look forward to. We're not a player in the world anymore. So that brings depression. That brings a person down to nothing. And the last thing is just what your neshama, something that you care about, something that you have delight, it appeals to your neshama. So these are three very fascinating concepts where Yechezkel describes the oiz, the einayim, and the neshama. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chavei says, "Vasisim kasher asisi asha Yechezkel." The people I've done what I have done. Va'asisem, you will do what I have done. The day will come when there will be a korban, and you will have to suffer the same fate as me. Al safam lo satu. Now he repeats all of the different customs of a mourner. Al safam lo satu. You will not cover your lips with a garment. The lechem anoshim lo yisechelu. You will not eat the bread of your fellow man. The custom is that a mourner does not eat on the first day of avelos his own bread. He is given bread from someone else. Pasuk of Gimel, Ufe Eirechem al Roshechem, your hats will remain upon your head. So we learn simply means that a mourner takes off his hat, or it means the tefillin. You will continue to wear your ordinary hat, or you will continue to wear your tefillin. V'Nalechem
Beraglechem. So
I don't know. He was saying you're not going to mourn. It's an expression. You're not going to mourn.
I mean, Perach HaKavosh, that was.
Yechezkel.
He was given a specific command.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see more clearly in Farsha. I don't remember. I wrote that. I underlined some things here, but for Yom Tov, I don't remember exactly. We'll see. But it says here, simply, it's. I mean, simple interpretation is your hat. You're not going to take off your hat. No, mourner takes off their hat. You're not going to take off your hat. You're going to wear shoes. You're not going to mourn. You're not going to eulogize. You're not going to cry. You're going to melt in your sins, and you're going to cry, you're going to moan one person to his brother. Period. Let's see all these two. So, in the Mitzvah of David, you will do exactly what I have done. The Chayzer Umefarish, he goes on to explain. Number one, Val Safam Zev Zelufi She'ein Linhoig Minig Avelim El B'Mokum Shiesh Minachamim. The Mitzudos here is Lishitosoi. He's following his original interpretation that mourning only is done when there is someone to provide comfort. You will have no one Avel Oz Yukulam Avelim. Everyone will be in a state of mourning. Therefore, Ve'imkein Mi Yinachem Esmi. Who will give comfort? Next, Pasuk of Gimel, Unimakoisem, you will melt. Tiyu nimesim batsorois, digmul avoinoi seichem, is punishment for your sins. Umikeev lev tamu, and due to the pain of your heart, you will moan and groan. Ish im achiv, one man together with his fellow man, Kutsun lemar, kulchem ze kze, everyone will be the same. Let's see, Rashi, Pasuk of Beis. Here Rashi really says it outright. There's no such thing as avelos, ela bimkoim menachamim. Only when there are people who can provide comfort. We discussed in the beginning, before people came, we discussed this. Dover acher shetiyu yureyim livkois lifnei hakastim shatem b'soicham. Or we have a new interpretation: is that really you will want to mourn, but the kastim will punish you. If the kastim, that was part of the psychological punishment, psychological warfare of the enemy, they did not allow the people to mourn. Mourning, according to this interpretation, is a healthy outlet in order to deal with the tzara, the part of the torture that the kastim imposed upon their victims was not to allow them to mourn. And that made the pain all that much greater. It's a form of torture. Okay?
No outlet.
It's a form of torture. That's what the kastim, that's how they... So therefore, what's safam? Ramachal, what's the word safam?
Okay. Renon is an old French word for mustache, which, by the way, is a French word. Modern French word for mustache.
Okay, and the next word, unimakoisem, is to melt. What does that mean in
like
French?
Safa, like on the
well, the next word. The next word, unimakoisem, and you're going to melt.
Yeah.
What's that word? collapse. Ooh, collapse. Okay, that's a little bit different than melting. All right. The mitzudo seal. What do you say? He's serving the makos meloshna hamasa hamoka vehamasa. It means to dissolve and melt. All right. Let's go to the radak. Radak pasuk chav beis vaasi sem mivor hu. Everything here is self understood. No need for elaboration. Chav gimel. Those are the best radaks, right? When radak says you don't need me here. Chav gimel. Ufe erechem and your hats. Chosar yud. Harabim me'amichtav. Okay, the yud harabim me'amichtav. Normally, when anything that is plural has a yud, that's a general rule in grammar. A yud always connotes a rabim. When you're missing a yud, it means yachet. So here, it's incorrect. Here, you should say ufe erechem. There should be a yud after the reish. And there is no, because we're dealing with tzibur, chem, and yet the yud is lacking. Okay, so it's not the end of the world. You're going to milk Moshe, Amar Moshe, Rabbeinu Levasholem, Yimaku Bavonam, you will melt in your sins. Uniham tem, you will roar, you will moan. Kadam Hashag Bifiv Vinoyhem, Al Harash, Osaki Inyan, Vinohamta, Bachri Secha, Bichlois, Bisorcha, Usherecha, Viamarta, Eich Sonesi Musa, how did I hate Musa? You will. When you suffer the consequences of your actions, you will then mourn and moan and groan, and you will say to yourself, how could I have been so foolish not to accept the musr of other people and take proper action? Okay, the last pasuk here in this section is the pasuk of Gdalid. Pasuk of Dalit says, V'hoyo yecheskel luchem l'moifes, yecheskel will be for you as a moifes, kechol asher osa ta'asu, everything that he has done, so shall you do. Bivaya, when this event comes, vidatem, you will then know ki ani Hashem Elokim, you will then know that I am Hashem Elokim. Let's see Chavdal in the Mitzvah Stavis. And by the way, I just want to point out over here, you notice every time we say, I don't know if you noticed the Haftarah on yesterday was very, very rare, very unique. Here it says Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, and then it's Yudke Vavke. How do we pronounce it? We only had this about a billion times. We had it a billion times, Hashem Elokim. If you notice in the Haftarah yesterday, so the last pasuk was Elohim Hashem. Why? Because there it was Yudke Vavke, and then it was Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. So then you pronounce, you say it Elohim Hashem. You notice that after yesterday, the Baal Kriya did it the right way. Okay, so therefore that's just a side point. Okay, let's now go to pasuk Lachavdal the Mitzudos David. Pasuk of Dalid says. You'll do like what I have done. When the Puranas comes, you'll do like what I have done. Now, what's very unique about this pasuk is Yechezkel's talking in third person. He's talking about himself. Where do you have that in the entire Sefer? Almost nowhere. Okay, this is extremely unique. Everything is, I'm speaking, I'm telling you. And now he's the one that's speaking. He talks about himself. V'hoyo Yecheskel. Who are you? What are you, an imposter? Why all of a sudden are you talking about Yecheskel about in third person? So,
well, he must be quoted directly then.
Well, everything is really direct from Hashem.
Well,
Hashem. Okay, all right. So Hashem is telling him in a direct quote. And okay, that's possible. But generally, Hashem shows him a vision, and he expressed in his own words. All right, you're saying one idea. This, but why is this a direct quote different? Why here did Hashem give him a direct quote here, and Hashem did not give him a different direct quote elsewhere, where Hashem does not say to use his own name? The only answers you can suggest is either you can say that this nevuah. By the way, it's one of the more popular nevuahs, one of the more well-known prophecies of Sefer Yechezkel, of the Machmat Einechem, the Moshe of Yechezkel, the Yechezkel's death, the death of his wife was a Moshe. It captures the essence of his mission more than other prophecies. The name of the person captures his essence. Yechezkel is called Yechezkel Meloshon. Lashon of Chazok Kel, right? Chazok means the strength of God, or Yechezkel is Chazei. Chazei, that I have to go with the kuf. Chazei means to see the vision of Kel. The word Yechezkel defines his mission, his role. Here, we're something here from all the various prophecies. There's nothing more personal than what has happened to him in this prophecy than all the other prophecies. Many prophecies just telling you things. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you that on this day, on this time, this event's going to happen, this can happen, that's going to happen. People listen. Okay, I hear what you say. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. When it happens, we'll know if you're telling us the truth or not. Then you have the example where Hashem says, lie down, make for yourself a levana, take a brick, and on the brick write the word Yerushalayim. And take a frying pan, and have the frying pan be a mechitza between you and the brick. And may have a fire, and take some grass, and divide the grass into three different directions. Okay, he's doing something. He's doing something. Is he in pain? Is he in pain when he's doing that? Not necessarily. He's doing something. He's taking a brick. He's making a little model. This model is Yerushalayim. I'm going to make a little doyek around. Okay, I have a frying pan. Very like the artwork.
When they said, "What does this mean for us?" I took it to mean that, you know, we've seen you do these kinds of things so many times that obviously it has a meaning for us. So they're already
used to. They were used to his whole.
I think on the greater level, he's trying to highlight the fact that he, you know, here I am. You think the prophet, the Navi, is above it all, and he doesn't really understand what we're going through. So he's saying, even Yechezkel, even me, I am suffering. Look what happens to me.
It's my essence. Right, that's the point I want to make. Right.
Imagine.
It's me. It's my essence. Much more so.
As much as you, right. I understand what you're going through.
Exactly.
It's happening to me, too.
That's the point I want to make. Exactly. And that's the point I want to make, is that all the other prophecies, they don't touch they don't touch his essence like to the same degree as this. All other prophecies, none of them touch on his essence like this. Some prophecies he's just making statements. Other prophecies he's doing things. But what he's doing doesn't cause him any physical pain. Then we learned in the beginning of the Sefer where he did have physical pain, where Hashem said, I want you to lie down on your side for 390 days on one side, 40 days on the other side. I want you to eat bread that has been baked with the dung of an animal. Now, that obviously was not a very pleasant experience. To go through this. But that's nothing. Nothing compared to the pain that he suffered with the death of his wife. That takes the cake. And when this happened, this touches upon his essence. And the person's essence is captured in their name. In their name. Their name, okay, a person dies in Shemona Esrei, he's supposed to say the end of the Shemona Esrei before you conclude the Le'el Yil Ratzon, I say a pasuk which captures your name. So therefore, it is precisely in this specific nevuah of Yechezkel losing his wife, the Machmad Einechem, where he concludes the last pasuk, Yechezkel. It's not just me, a Navi, a person, it's personal. I really understand what's going to happen, and I commiserate with you, what's going to happen to you. It's me, and therefore you should learn from me and take this very seriously.
Okay, let's see.
What? Yeah, everyone died. I mean, most people died at the time of the Churban. They were exiled, so. But still, at this point in time, it was still before, it was premature. I mean, she died earlier. She died many, I mean, this Nevuah took place 3 years before the Churban. 3 years, a very long time. And he was denied his wife for those 3 years. Maybe she would have survived with him. Whatever it is, but this was a mashal. He's coming to show that this is my essence, and that's why here we have his name. And we don't have his name in other nevuahs. It's more personal here. Pasuk. Let's see what he says over there in Rashi. Rashi says Pasuk of Dalid bivo haru hazos, when this haru comes upon you, radak pasach of Dalid. V'haya Yecheskel hanavi haya medam v'loshen hakel yisparach l'chodiv v'amar v'haya Yecheskel v'loy amar v'hayisi v'hayisi v'chein amar ki ani Hashem Elokim. Okay, so Ramchal, this is what your answer was, what it says over here in the Radak. Radak, this is a direct quote. Okay, but it doesn't take away from what Rabbi Mayevsky, and I'm trying to say is that the reason why Hashem is giving me this direct quote is because over here this Nevuah captures the essence, how he identifies with this tsar much more so than all the other tsars. When this report comes that the Migdash has been destroyed. Okay, now we go to the next section. Pasuk Chafei. V'yata ven Adam, halev yom takhi mehem es mu'uzam. On that day, when I take from them their strength, misos tifartam, the joy of their splendor, es machmad einehem, the es maso nafsham, the burden of their neshama. Maso here means what their neshama carries, binehem uvnoisam, the pride, the president of the pride. And the mitzvah stuff it says, the mitzvah siyah, he says masalosh nesiyah v'harama, what their neshama carries, the pride of their neshama, which includes Bineihem, Uvinoy Sehem, their sons and their daughters. Pasuk Chavav, B'yomach, on that day, Yavra Palit Elecha, on that day, the Palit, the escapee, the refugee will come Elecha to you, Lehashmo'us Oznayim, to give a report in your ears, to make it heard in your ears what has happened. Pasuk Chav Zayin, another Pasuk, B'yomach, on that day, Yiposach Picha Es HaPalit, you'll open up your mouth to the Palit, to the refugee who reports, Usidaber, and you will speak v'los se'olaim od, and you'll no longer be a deaf mute. V'hoyisi lochem l'moifes v'yadu ki ani Hashem. Now let's see all of these ideas in the Mefarshim.
Actually, tell B'nai Yisrael. Koyim Hashem, Masha Ato
Those are the words. Okay, it's Yecheskel Lachem. What happens to Yecheskel is going to be a simon for Klal Yisrael.
Tell that to B'nai Yisrael.
Tell them those words. Okay. It's really the same idea as what Rashi says. But why from everything that he was doing until now is a simon? When Yecheskel was lying on his side for 390 days and then 40 days, eating the dung of bread. So there doesn't say that what Yecheskel is doing, how he's lying on his side and he's suffering.
But they're not going to do the same thing.
There,
in that case,
they're not going to lie down.
All right.
Here he's saying what happened to Yecheskel is what's going to happen to you, and he's saying other prophecies wasn't exact, possibly. Okay, let's see the Mitzudo Stav of these last three Pesukim of the Parak. Pasuk Chafei in the Mitzudo Stav, it says, Pasuk Chafei b'yom kachti b'eis ekach mehem b'eis ha-migdash shehu mu'uzam b'choskam b'simchas tefartam asher bo yisparu. Okay, we have repetition. The base ha-migdash, which represents all of these ideas which we had before, es machmar enechem, the delight of your eyes, musa ba'al b'yom kachti lo'ymar b'eis ekach es machmar enechem v'es mash shenafsham misnasei u'mispo'er bohem. The day that I take away the base ha-migdash, which is something which their neshamos lift up and delight in, the choyzer u'mefarish lo'ymar shahim b'neim u'nosem. What else is the delight? What does a person's neshama, is it lifted up to their children? Pasuk Chavzava, Bayoyim Ahu Bo'es Ahi Yavo Yelecha Polit Min HaMulchama LeHashmiya El Hoznaim Dvarachum. On that day, the Polit, and that's what it says in Sefer Yirmiyah, that it was on the 5th day of Teves, the following year. The Chorban was on the 9th and 10th day of Av, and it took a couple of months until the following 5th day of Teves, until the messenger arrived with a report that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He's going to report in their ears what has happened. And Pasuk of Zayin, Es HaPolit, it means Im Bias HaPolit, Yiposach Picha, Ulitoisefes Be'er Amar Ustabiv Lo Se'olem. Now here it means that Hashem is telling Yecheskel. Okay, I didn't explain it correctly. Pasuk of Zayin is saying on that day, when the report arrives in Bavel on the 5th day of Teves that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, then first people will take you seriously. Until this point in time, people did not believe in Yechezkel. They thought he was a maniac, a lunatic, telling them gloom and doom, things that are not going to happen. And in fact, we learned that there were Nevi Yishek, there were other prophets, other people, other prominent people in the community that were telling people, ignore what Yechezkel says, it's not going to happen. The Beis HaMikdash. What? Yeah, the old Nevi Yishek. Yeah, exactly. All of them were always challenged. The Navi Yem is always a minority. He was always a minority. He was always the underdog. And here is exactly what's happening over here. All the other people telling Yechezkel, Yechezkel, when will they first begin to take you seriously? It will be on the fifth day of Teves. The fifth day of Teves, you know, to some degree, is a very important day, not just because the report, it's the day when people began to take a Navi seriously. Mm-hmm. We take the Navi very seriously. Look at Art School. There wouldn't be a market to publish such nice sort of unless people actually took the Navi very seriously. When did that change happen in society? That day was the fifth day of Teves, when the report came after the Korban that the Midrash was destroyed, and Yechezkel said whatever he said was MS. And that's what it says here. You'll open up your mouth and they're going to listen. They're going to listen to your words of Musar. Oh, stop it further in the Mitzvah. Stop it. Sadaber v'lo sa'alem. Ki ado eisahi hoya ki ish ilayim. Until this point in time, Yechezkel had to measure his words. He was like a deaf mute. Leval yoichichei milibo. Not to give them too much Musar. Ki lo shomu elov. Because they did not listen. Uchmo shenemar v'nelamta, like it says in the beginning of the Sefer, we will be silent. V'lo siyelachem lishma chich, and you will not give them musa because they're not going to listen anyway. L'chein amar b'voya hapolit v'yirush emes dibat, when they see that the words that you have spoken are true, oz yiyel l'cha pischein pen, now you will be for them a pischein pen l'hichicham milibcha, you will now be able to give them musa according to your liking, ki me oz yishmu l'cha, now they will listen to you. Now if I'm not mistaken, I'm reading between the lines, what does it mean over here that until now he did not give them musa? It seems that the Mitzvah is saying is that there were two types of musa. There was musa that came directly from Hashem, that was channeled through the throat, the vocal cords of Yechezkel. And then Yechezkel on his own had what to say. Yechezkel also liked to give them Musar besides what Hashem told him. So Hashem told him, beginning of the Sefer, listen, Yechezkel, I know you enjoy giving Musar. You're a preacher. That's your calling in life. But Yechezkel, for now, you got to suppress your private tirade, your private words of Musar. The only words of Musa you're going to convey, relate, is what Hashem says. And that's going to be just a few words, far in between, just a here and there, I'm going to give you Musa. And even that they're not going to want to listen to. But on the day when it's proven that everything you say is MS, the fifth day of Teves, now you'll open up your floodgate. You'll open up your mouth and you'll be able to say whatever you want to talk nonstop.
As a parent, they've been proven.
So now you can say your own Musa. Preparing yesterday for the Shul Chumash, I read a story from Rav Palm. Rav Palm says there was once a Talmud in Tarav Adas, and in the days of Elul, he decided to call upon himself a Tainus Dibor. The entire Chodesh Elul, this young boy decided he's not going to talk. He's not going to talk, say one word other than words of Torah and Tefillah. Elul, right? Elul, you have to call upon yourself a tiny stibor. And he did it. He survived. But after Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur, he couldn't stop talking. It had a bad effect on him. The suppression of not talking for 40 days,
to make up for it.
It affected him. It's an unbelievable insight. It affected him where after Yom Kippur, he just lost it. He just could not. So here, it's the same thing. Hashem is telling Yechezkel, I want you to suppress your words. You obviously, you have a need to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. Quiet. Tiny Stibor. Only what I tell you to say to them. Now that the Korban has happened, they believe you. Now, it's like a faucet, a fire hydrant. You can say whatever you want to say. Let's see what it says in the V'hayolachem L'mayfes. Let's go further in the Mitzudos David. The Hayisa Lachem L'mayfes, return to Lema, Oz Yaminim B'dvarecha, Kedech Shem Aminim B'mayfes. You'll believe in your words the same way they believe in signs. The Yadu Kini Hashem, the Oz Yedu Shani Hashem Haneman B'mamora U'mekayim Dvar HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nemon. Let's see over here Rashi Pasik.
Pasuk Chav Hey, Masa Nafsham, She Nafsham Misnasa Bohem. Beautiful expression. These words really, they define children. Children are the Masa Nafsham. A child is what? She Nafsham Misnasa Bohem. The Neshama is uplifted through children. Fascinating insight into human psychology and what keeps a person going. A person's children, no matter what they are, is what keeps a person's neshama high and mighty. On that day, it was impossible, the polid could not possibly arrive on the day of the Churban. So what then does the pasuk mean? It means, it says, on that day. On the day when the polit, the refugee or the escapee arrives, which is not the day when the churban, from the pasuk you would be misled to think that on that day when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, the polit, the messenger will arrive. It's impossible. In ancient times, you can't go from Yerushalayim to Bavel in one day. It takes time. So the pasuk means on the day when he arrives, not the day when the churban Beis Hamikdash happens. So pasach picha, you will then open up your mouth. When the messenger arrives to make it known to their ears what has happened, then when the polit makes this announcement, they'll believe in you. They'll see words of MS, Salim, Odmihis, Nabos, Lachem. You'll no longer come back from giving the Musa. Now you will tell them whatever you want to tell them. Let's finish the Radak. Radak on the Pasuk Chav Hei, Viata, Haloi, Bioim, Kachti, Alderech, Sha'amai, Hirni, Lokech, Mimcha. Okay, on the day when your wife is taken from you. Next words, Vies Masom, Nafsham, the children. When it says Masa Nafsham, either means the children is the Masa Nafsham, or the Beis Hamikdash is the Masa Nafsham, which is the object, is the thing which uplifts the heart of the people. Now we go to some grammar. That was yesterday's Haftorah. Anyone sound familiar? Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zavula. This means that I've taken you.
So it does not mean the day of the Churban, it means at that time, the time when the polit arrives. To make known the announcement. So he's saying over here, the question is, it does not take 4 months to get from Yerushalayim to Bavel. So what took so long? The answer is the roads were closed. It wasn't a matter of the physical time it takes to travel, to walk, to run, to go by horse, to travel. It means that they were captives. He writes here that Shaholchu chel hakastim lichbosh makayim acher v'hashavuyim imohem. The captives were with them, so they took, the soldiers did not allow anyone to escape. They took all of the refugees, all of the captives, and they went to conquer other lands, other areas, and no one was allowed to travel in this direction until they gave permission. So it was a matter they were prevented physically from traveling, even though technically it would not take so long to reach this location. Chav Zayin, and on that day,
if you weren't captured, you'd still have to go
in
some direction.
roundabout way. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that's what he's saying. Okay, he's basically saying that. He's saying over here, don't think it takes 4 months to travel from Yerushalayim to Bavel. It doesn't take 4 months. You can do it a lot quicker. It's because they were prevented. There were all the other different circumstances that prevented them from traveling on the roads to reach this location. You will open your mouth together with the polit. Now the polit revealed that it's emes. Yecheskel has spoken the truth. Now you will be able to give over Musar. Ima polit. You did not believe me. Look, everything that I've told you has come true. When they die, when the captives die, they will no longer be able to tell you back that you're wrong. Now you have open rein to say to them whatever you want. Okay, this concludes this perek. We'll stop here up to perek Chaf Hei. We'll take a short break and then we'll learn some Chumash.